Sometimes there's more to be said about a topic than a sermon allows, or maybe that we'll allow ourselves to sit for to hear a sermon. And sometimes there's more to be said about a sermon that could be better said in dialogue than could be said in a monologue. So I encourage you to think about how you're hearing what I'm sharing. I'm sharing something that I have an aversion to, and that's conflict. It's probably because I grew up in a conflicted home. There was lots of arguments, lots of fights. But I know one thing, there was lots of love too. However, the tension still remains in my head and my heart. After graduating from seminary, I was determined to go and pastor a church that had no conflict. I was going to make everybody happy. I was Mr. Fix-It. I was the Messiah, this Messiah complex, that is. Well, I soon figured out that just wasn't going to be the case. But I did learn in that 10 and a half years with the Kokomo Church of the Brethren that there was an upside to conflict and a downside. Now, the Bible really doesn't deal with the upside. Today's text is dealing with the downside, except for one thing. And that's where the scripture ends. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So within the life of the church, it doesn't matter whether the conflict is a good thing or whether it's not so good. We do have a Savior. The head of the body of Christ is with us. That is the most important thing I want you to hear this morning. Not that the other stuff isn't important. But if we don't get that one right, and there'll be a later point I make in the sermon that helps us understand why that's right, then we're likely stumble around, fail over and over again when we face conflict, whether it's good or not so good. It seems that Jesus knew what we need to know, that his living presence among us is going to help us deal with our differences, whether they are deep conflicts or just differences of opinion, which can be okay. So let's look at the upside of conflict. Remember, Jesus is with us to guide and comfort, to confront and to challenge us in the choices we make and the decisions of how we will be with one another in ministry and mission, as well as in community and fellowship. Samuel's incarnational ministry offers this insight about being with each other. God is most fully disclosed at times of our greatest distress and despair. The troubled are those who have gotten themselves into a mess. But guess what, folks? I didn't write that book, and I do believe in incarnational ministry. And for that reason, I would go on to say, God is also with us in not our conflicted times when there is struggle and division and separation, but in our times of searching and discerning what is best for the church. In looking for a pastor, for instance, we're not all going to agree about that. We've got different opinions already among us about that. Opening ourselves to a new vision. Vision is what inspires and gives life to a congregation. But I can guarantee you no vision will emerge without some tension, without some dissonance, some stressful aspects to its effort. Maybe that's why people resist working on a vision. And besides, we do a vision statement, we put it up on the wall, and we forget it. We go on as though life is as usual. Positive disagreements and discernment can be very helpful to us as we discern a future. But let us remember, Jesus is here with us in the journey, because we've asked him to be the head of our body. So let's look at the upside of conflict. It first of all includes creativity. I can be creative, but not nearly as creative as if I join with a number of you and we think through an issue, an idea, or a direction. Now, it might take a little more time, and I might like my idea better than your ideas. But I have learned in the journey that creativity is what brings breadth and depth to the life of a congregation. Secondly, it increases our energy. Think how ho-hum life would be if every one of us thought the same way. One of my biggest mistakes coming out of seminary was that I wanted everybody to be on the same page, think the same way, do the same things, rather than be of one mind. And the one mind that I think Paul's writing about is talking about being together in the Spirit of Christ for the good of Christ. That's the one mind. It's the differences that help us arrive at that one spirit. And finally, conflict can lead to better decisions. If you have a big problem to resolve, one person has an idea, but you two put 50 people together, they will generally, with the right leadership and the right commitment of their heart, come to a better decision than anyone by themselves could have. One thing I learned at being at Kokomo was that we wanted to use our building for witness and for service. Now, we have to remember that that congregation in 1965 had built a brand new building, and in 5 years it was blown down flat to the ground by a tornado. The only thing that was saved was the pastor's office and books. Kind of a strange savings. I think the pastor was glad, but it did kind of blow everybody's mind. So we were searching for things that might be important ministries to undertake. And the first thing that knocked at the door were the migrants who lived on the outside of the city, helping the farm workers pick their tomatoes and cucumbers and squash. And so they needed a school for their children. It was a really interesting conversation about these dirty children and how they might spoil the toys of our nursery and how they would scuff the floor. And we had some very strong opinions set forth in that meeting. And we finally came to make a vote, and it passed by one vote. Simple majority, one vote. We sat there stunned, and I kept asking, what was my leadership role? And finally I stood and said and looked at the congregation, you know, we don't have the heart and the compassion to do the migrant ministry. I really believe it's a good ministry. I wish we could do it, but I think we need to pray longer and discern what is the ministry that we have a heart and compassion for. 2 weeks later, another knock came at the door, and this time it was to provide a senior citizens hot meals program 5 days a week through our fellowship hall. Now, we had a little pushback, and guess who pushed back the most? Our senior citizens. So I spent a whole Sunday morning talking with them about what was troubling, and regard their biggest issue was these people are going to gamble because they're going to play bingo. So I promised that I would not let that happen. I put my integrity on the line, said I will not let that happen because I don't believe that's what you want, and I don't think that's what we want. We're not going to gamble in this building. Well, you know, that program lasted for probably 5-6 years. It provided a good meal for 30 to 40 people who were all alone. It provided fellowship, some games, some opportunities of talking. I always was stand off the side and watch and listen to the joy, the laughter, the conversation, the high energy. And we had at least 3 people, and 2 of them were from the church, who resisted this ministry the most. 2 of them. 3 of them had lost their spouses, and they were in deep despair and felt hopeless. But within a year, they began smiling and laughing and began to participate in this program and it saved their life emotionally and spiritually. And they developed new friendships and a new hope. Not the kind of ministry we first thought of. And we could have been more justice-oriented, but it was ministry, folks. And it was decided by the community of believers with strength. I think it was 80 or 90% strength wanted to undertake this ministry. So there is an upside of conflict, but there's also a downside. What about the more difficult differences? What if one speaks words that hurt or disappoint us? Do we go on the defensive? Do we react? Do we give put-down statements? Or, as our scripture offered, what if someone sins against us? Now, I also have an experience from Kokomo. When we were in a meeting, and it was rather heated discussion, and we weren't using the nicest words and expressing our greatest thoughts, and this one particular person couldn't take any longer, jumped out of their seat, unloaded a boatload of anger on all of us, and went out the door in tears. We sat there, we struggled, we thought, we prayed, and then I finally mentioned something about Matthew 18. Oh, yeah, Matthew 18. So guess who got voted to take number one? I was in the group. So I said, yeah, I'll go visit with her. I was scared, rather intimidating person to first of all. But I also knew this person had great deep hurts within their life. So it was an awkward visit, but we did sit down together. And first of all, she was very embarrassed and she said, I can't go back to church. Look what I've done. And I said, oh, yes, you can. Because those people love you and we care about you and you're an important part of our congregation. Now, it took a while for her to take that in and absorb that as okay. And then she talked about the pain of her life where people talked the way we were talking and how that hooked her and how that didn't seem helpful to what we were making a decision around. And so we went back to the group. She reluctantly, I with confidence that we needed to talk. So we took one whole meeting, talked what had happened, and she finally made her confession to the group of how embarrassed she was, and the group assured her it's okay, she will be fine, and also began listening to her pain. And the next two or three meetings were considerably different than the meeting she had walked out on. Stanley Hauerwas has written in a book, Making Peace with Conflict, writing, what I have really come to feel is true and was true in this situation, that stories are necessary not because of their point, but because they offer insight into truth not available by any other means. So how do you feel about conflict? Do you see the upside? Have you experienced and felt the downside? Whether it's in marriage, whether it's in this church setting, whether it's in the community, conflict is real. And our Lord gives us guidance about that. Because what happens if the first time doesn't work out? And I've been involved in many of those. Then it says, take two or three witnesses. Don't go in there like bulldogs to take over a person's life, but go in and sit with that person. Listen to their words. Listen to the words of the other that's been hurt. Be witnesses to those words. Help people understand those words. And it's amazing how often those first two steps with Jesus in the middle of that brought new peace, new confidence of being with each other. Now, the third I would admit is the most difficult, and that is if that does not work, go to the whole church. That kind of sharing does not happen easily. And most times people want to take sides. They don't bring a quiet, confident exploration of what is real, what is right, what is just. We often bring to our conflicts the baggage of our human life. We often bring to our conflict power and a desire to control the outcome. I really wanted that migrant ministry. I thought it was the most just and most caring and most thoughtful way that we could be church that there was. But guess what? I came to realize if we couldn't do that, there was still other good ministry we could do. And sometimes churches have to just understand we're not going to do everything because God doesn't gift us with the abilities, the desire, or the heart to do it. But that doesn't mean we can't do something important. We just have to realize that with creativity and thoughtfulness and prayer, the one who is with us will help us. And when we have a conflict with one or two or three others, don't run away from it. It's the worst thing in the world we could do. Lean in toward it. Now, I don't like that because I have a conflict aversion. The first desire I have is to run away or act like it never happened. Anybody else here feel like that? Don't hold your hands up. But think about it. But the reality is that the living, loving Lord of our life, the head of this church, will always be with us. And if we want, will give us the patience, will give us the words, will give us the ears to hear, and will give us the confidence to walk in love and grace and mercy. And that puts conflict in its proper place.